38. We'll begin reading in verse number 2. Jeremiah has been preaching. He's been proclaiming a message from God. It was a message of judgment. And the princes of the court, the king, hears this message. They hear the words of Jeremiah. And these are the words that they are saying, the princes, that Jeremiah said. Verse number 2, chapter 38. Thus saith the Lord, he that remaineth in the city shall die by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence. But he that goeth forth to the Chaldeans shall live, for he shall have his life, for a prey shall live. Thus saith the Lord, the city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of the Babylon's army, which shall take away. Therefore the princes said to the king, we beseech thee, let this man, which is Jeremiah, be put to death. For thus he weakened the hands of the men of war that remain in the city, and the hands of all the people in speaking such words unto them. For this man seeketh not the welfare of his people, but hurt. Then Zedekiah the king said, behold, he is in your hand. For the king is not he that can do anything against you. Then they took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malachi and said, the son of Hamulek that was in the court of the prison, and they let down Jeremiah with cords, and in the dungeon there was no water but mire, so Jeremiah sunk in the mire. Now when Abimelech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin, Abimelech, which went forth out of the king's house and spake unto the king, saying, my lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon, and he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city. Then the king commanded Abimelech, the Ethiopian, saying, take from hence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die. So Abimelech took the men with him, and went to the house of the king under the treasury, and took hence old cast clouts and old rotten rags, and let them down by cords into the dungeon to Jeremiah. And Abimelech, the Ethiopian, said to Jeremiah, put now these old cast clouts and rotten rags under thy arm holes and under the cords. And Jeremiah did so. Verse 13, and they drew up Jeremiah with cords and took him out of the dungeon. And Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Father, we thank you this morning for the wonderful opportunity to come to the house of God. We thank you, Father, for the Word of God, for the songs that were sung, for your presence that we have already felt in your house. God, I pray this morning that you would bless the reading of your Word. Lord, that you would encourage the saints of God. I pray you would save the sinner that's in our presence. I pray, God, that you would manifest yourself here in your house this morning. I pray, God, you'd sit down among us. Help us, encourage us. Father, I pray that you'd help us. We love you, we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 38. We know through the life, the story, the history of Jeremiah. He was a man. He was a prophet. He was a priest. He was a preacher with a broken heart. Before he was ever born, he was commissioned, or he was called by God to proclaim a message. He was born a son of a priest. Therefore, he was a priest himself. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 9, we find that God touched his mouth. He put the words into Jeremiah's mouth, and he commissioned Jeremiah to preach a sad, very sad message. This message that God gave Jeremiah broke his very heart. He preached this message with a trembling voice. He preached this message with tear-filled eyes and a broken heart. And just like Jeremiah, many of you know something about brokenness. We know Jeremiah was so filled with sadness and brokenness and despair and hurt that he's called the weeping prophet. This morning, we find in our text that Jeremiah, because of this message, because of his preaching, his life, his devotion to God, was cast into a dungeon. He was let down in the mire. And the Bible says he didn't stay in the mire, but he sunk down in the mire. I want to preach on a thought this morning, from the ruins to the rock. Jeremiah, he's found in the ruins. But thank God, God sends some men. He sends some faithful servants of God to pick him back up and put him on the rock. Jeremiah, he finds himself down in the mire, down in the mess, down in the murk of this life. But God takes him to the mountain. We find Jeremiah, he's in the depths of despair, depths of loneliness and hurt. But God comes and delivers him.
Amen.
You say, preacher, why does Jeremiah being cast in the dungeon? How is he sunk down deep in the mire? And what has made him to this point that we find Jeremiah sunk low, sunk deep into the mires of life? I want to say, number one, it was because Jeremiah was hated by the multitude. Jeremiah was probably the most hated, the most persecuted prophet of them all. He was lied about. Jeremiah was slandered upon. Jeremiah was misrepresented. And he was hated by the multitudes and the masses of that day. This hate, this division of Jeremiah, it made him, and we find him because of it, in the mire and the sinking down in the murky waters of life. Satan, I want to say this morning, he's done a good job to create hate among our nation. He's created division among the land. He's turned people against people, families against families in our country. It seems to me that it's not those that want law and those that want order, those that desire the nuclear family, those that desire Christ as the Savior, those that desire the Christian values and the virtues that come along with that, are hated by the multitude. You see here, you may see it different, but I don't think this land is the hate and the division and the turmoil is because of the left or because of the right. I don't think it's because of Republicans or Independents or Democrats. But I think the hatred that's going on in our land is because of those that want to do right and those that want to do wrong. Those that want to see a move of God and those that want to turn from God. We find the men of God, Jeremiah, he was doing right. He was loving his nation. He loved God. He loved his family. He was preaching the message of God. Yet he was hated by the masses.
Yes.
Satan's doing a good job of creating hate among the masses.
Amen.
He's divided this country.
That's right.
If we let him, he'll divide this church.
That's right.
And he wants to divide your family this morning.
Amen.
I want to say this morning, let's not look at the hatred. Let's not look at the turmoil. Let's not look at the division that's going on around us. But I want to say, turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Amen.
And look unto his wonderful face.
Amen.
And the things of this world will go strangely dim.
Amen.
In the glory of his grace. It's not, let's not cause hatred and division among the church. If God had his way, or Satan had his way, he would turn members against members.
That's right.
He would turn the church against the pastor.
That's right.
He would turn the pastor against the church.
That's right.
But we find here, David, he knew something about that. David in Psalms 133, verse number 1, he said, "But behold, take hold, take notice, look at." He said, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity." I want to say I'm glad we can dwell together. We can worship together. We can come to the house of God together. We can proclaim the name of Christ together.
Amen.
In unity this morning. Unified, working together, working for the cause of Christ, loving each other and exalting Jesus Christ in one accord is what David was saying. Paul told the church at Ephesus, he said, "With all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, Forbearing one another in love. Here it is. Endeavoring. He's saying work at this. Endeavoring. Labor for this. Endeavoring. Strive for this. To keep the unity of spirit in bond and peace.
Amen.
There, Jeremiah was hated. There was hatred. There was division. There was turmoil and burning that was going on in the country. We need unity this morning. Jeremiah, he loved his brethren. He loved his nation. He loved Judah. He loved God. He was faithful to preach. Yet he's let down. He's sinking in the mire because the hatred of the masses. Number two, Jeremiah was let down. He was cast in this dungeon. He was thrown into the mire. He was sinking deep in the mire, in the mess, because he was haunted by his mind. If anyone ever got to the point of being stressed and depressed and despondent and hurt and sinking in the mire because of the ministry, it was Jeremiah. 40 years he preached, faithful to preach the Word of God, yet never one convert. The people would not listen. His family turned against him. His family wanted to kill him. We find he was beaten, put in stocks. He was arrested by an angry mob. They accused him of treason. He was put and tortured in stocks. He was thrown into jail. He was thrown into this dungeon. And now he's sinking deep in the mire of life. He was haunted in his mind. You say, what do you mean he was haunted in his mind? Jeremiah, he was so mentally, so physically, so spiritually haunted by the pressures of this world. In Jeremiah chapter number 20, he was so anguished, he was so haunted in his mind, he cursed the very day he was born. What Jeremiah was saying was, God, it'd be better off if I was dead than me being alive. He felt all alone. God had forbidden Jeremiah to marry. He forbade Jeremiah to have children. And now he's all alone. The laughing stock of Judah in the mire and mess of life. And he wanted to quit. You know, there's many in here this morning. You feel like Jeremiah. You want to quit. You want to throw in the towel. You want to give up. You want to say, God, it's enough. I've been faithful. I've tried my best. And nothing is seen to happen. I want to say this morning, don't give up. Don't be haunted in your mind by doubt and discouragement and stress. You say, preacher, what's the use of coming to church? What's the use of tithing? And what's the use of being faithful to teach that Sunday school class? What's the use of being faithful to teach those youth? What's the use to come to Awana every night and to give my time and my effort to these young children? What's the use to carry on the work of Christ? I tell you what the use is this morning. There's people in this church that depend on you. There's some young people in this church that depend on you. There's some grandchildren that depend on you. There's some brothers and sisters in Christ that depend on you.
Right.
Our pastor depends on you. And let me add this morning, our Savior, our God, our Redeemer depends on you. Hey, Jeremiah, you're down in the dungeon. Jeremiah, you're sinking low. You are haunted in your mind. You are hated by the masses. You are sinking in the mires of life. But Jeremiah, I want to encourage you this morning. I want to pray for you this morning. I want to try to help you this morning. Jeremiah, I want to tell you to keep your eyes upon Jesus and your mind upon Christ. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Isaiah, what do you think about it? Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3. Thou that keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Paul, what do you think about keeping your mind on Christ and your eyes upon Jesus? He told the church at Philippi, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think upon these things. I believe what Paul was saying is I know of one that's of good report. I know of one that's full of virtue. I know of one that's full and worthy of praise. I know one that's pure. I know one that's honest. I know one that's just. I know one that's true. I know one that's altogether lovely. I know one that's honest and righteous. And His name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's saying this morning, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your mind on Christ. And don't be haunted in your mind by doubt and discouragement. Jeremiah's seeking woe in the murk and the mess of life. He finds himself, he's there because he's hated by the masses. He's in seeking woe because he's haunted by his mind. I see thirdly, he's there because the herald message that he proclaimed. We read about his message. Jeremiah heralded this message that judgment is coming. Babylon is coming. You're going to be taken into captivity. He's saying if you stay where you're at, if you stay in the same position, if you keep doing what you're doing, if you don't change the place and you don't repent and turn to Jesus, you will die in your sins. Jeremiah, they looked at him as narrow-minded. They looked at Jeremiah as being outdated and old-fashioned. They thought of Jeremiah as being one of intolerance and not inclusive. They thought of Jeremiah as being a doomsday prophet. And the end of verse number 4, they said this message was not one of our welfare. They will say it's not a message of our helping, but it's a message of our hurting. I don't say it's Moses. He was an honorable man. But in Numbers chapter 16, they accused Moses of being prideful. Job was a righteous man, perfect in the eyes of God. But his friends accused him of great sin. Jesus, he was the spotless, the sinless Son of God. Yet the Jews and those people in John, they accused him of being demon-possessed. And now this message that Jeremiah is preaching to Judah, the same message that we are preaching to a lost and dying world, it hasn't changed. There's still only one way. There's still one God. There's only one Savior. There's only one blood. There's only one cross. There's only one way to make it to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The message he heralded, he was hated by the masses. He was haunted by his mind, and he's seeking low down in the dungeons of life. And I'm glad this morning God didn't keep him there. He brought him from the ruins to that solid rock. So how does Jeremiah go from the mire to the mountain? How does he go from the ruins to the rock? How does he get from the depths of the world to deliverance? I want to say number one, God sends a stranger from a foreign land.
Amen.
Jeremiah's in a dungeon. He's let down. He's left on his own. He's alone. No one's there to give him water. We read that they said there's no bread in the city. He's going to starve to death. He's going to die a slow and painful death. They turned on Jeremiah. He's tortured in his mind. But God sends a stranger from a foreign land to rescue him. Notice verse number 7. It says, now when Abimelech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs which was in the king's house, heard that they put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king sitting in the gate of Benjamin, that Abimelech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying, Abimelech, he was not from Jerusalem. He was not from Judah. He was not from the commonwealth of Israel. He was not of their race. He was not of their creed. He was not of their religion. Abimelech, he was a foreigner from a far off place. And he's found in the king's court going to the king on Jeremiah's behalf. It says he's an Ethiopian. It says he's a eunuch. Perhaps some of them commentators said maybe not a physical eunuch. Perhaps he is. But it shows his position. One of authority. One that has responsibility. One that's incapable to come in and out of the king's court and go straight to the king himself. It shows his identity, the purpose of which he came. We see here Abimelech. His name means servant of the king. We're told that Jeremiah is down in the murks of life. He's down in the dungeon. But it doesn't tell us what Jeremiah did down there all alone. What could he do? Where could he go? Who could he talk to? Jeremiah, we know he wrote two books in our Bible. This book, Jeremiah, and the book of Lamentations, which means grief and sorrow and weeping. But Lamentations gives us a hint on what Jeremiah did. It tells us and what he actually did. In Lamentations, verse 3, chapter 55, the Bible says, I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Thou hast heard my voice. Hide not thy ear at my breathing, at my cry. Thou drawest near in this day that I called upon thee, and thou saidest, fear not. You see, down in the mire, sinking in the mire, Jeremiah was praying. He was calling upon the Lord. He was casting his cares upon God. And this stranger, this foreigner from a far off country, this the servant of the king, this one that was a distance from a far off land, heard his moans, heard his cry, and answered his prayer. I want to say this morning, he does not turn Jeremiah away. He doesn't give a deaf ear to him, or he casts him aside. Moreover, he goes to the king on Jeremiah's behalf. Verse number 8, it says that Abimelech went forth out of the king's house and spake unto the king. I just want to say this morning, I'm glad Abimelech, a servant of the king, heard my cry. This stranger from a foreign land, this one from a far off city, this one that's in the courts of royalty, this one that's the servant of the Most High, hears our cry when we're in the mire. When I'm low, when I'm let down and let go by everyone, he hears my cry. When I'm there and in the mire, in the meekness, in the murky of life, he hears my cry. When forsaken by the prince of this world, when forsaken by the all and the people I love, he hears my cry. May I add this morning, this Abimelech, that's a picture of our Savior, Jesus Christ, in the dungeon. When I was in the dungeon of sin, in the mire of separation, lost from God, separated from God, under the guilt and the shame of my sin, this Abimelech, Jesus Christ, heard my cry.
Amen.
Brother Terry and Sister Brenda sings that song. I was nearing despair when he came to the there, and he showed me that I could go free. Then he lifted my feet, gave me joy complete when he reached down his hand for me. That's what Christ did. He heard our cry. He heard our prayer. He heard our moans. And he reached down his hand for you and I.
Amen.
I bless his name this morning. I thank him this morning. When my Savior reached down for me, he had to reach way down for me. I was lost. I was undone without God or his Son when he reached down his hand for me. We have a God this morning, a Savior this morning, one from a far off country, a Redeemer this morning that's ready to reach, that's ready to extend his arm, that's willing to help and lift you out of the dungeon, of the mire, of the mess of this world.
Amen.
I suggest to you that Abimelech, Jesus Christ, is closer than we think. In the mire, it says that he's in the dungeon of Malchiah. It was in the court of the prison. The prison, the dungeon, a cistern, they say it may have been. He was let down, but yet so close to the king's palace that those in the court of the palace could hear his moans. You know, when we pray, we may not see God. We may not even hear him. We may not feel him. But he's closer to us than we think. The safety, the security. We find this salvation, a stranger from a foreign land. He's willing to help our call. He's willing to help our calamity. And we find he comes from a foreign land. What brings Jeremiah out of this mire? What brings him out of the murk and the mires and the depths of this life? A stranger from a foreign land. Number two, saints from the flock of God. We find in verse number 10 and 11, Abimelech goes to the king. He cries to the king on Jeremiah's behalf. He hears his cry. He hears his prayer. And here's what the king says in verse number 10. And the king commanded Abimelech, the Ethiopian, saying, take from hence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he died. So Abimelech took the men with him and went to the house of the king under the treasury and took hence old cast clouts and old rotten rags and let them down by cords into the dungeon to Jeremiah. He's in the dungeon. He's needing help. God sends a stranger, his son, from a foreign land. And now he tells Abimelech to go get 30 men. 30 good men. And take some old rotten rags. Take some old clouts and tie them together and let him down and pull him up. Jeremiah, we've heard your cry. We've heard your prayer. We've told you we will never leave you nor forsake you. Fear not, Jeremiah, we're sending 30 men to your help. Saints from the flock. Saints from the fold of God. Servants of the Lord. Saints from the family of God. I want to say this morning, when you're in the mire and the murk of life, there's people in this church, the family of God, that wants to help you, wants to pray for you, that wants to reach down and help you get back up on the solid rock.
Amen.
The people in this church, I believe, are some of the greatest people I know. They want to love you. They want to pray for you and encourage you and call your name before God. But the sad part is, many times, when we're going through the murky waters of life, sinking down in the mire, instead of running to the church, we run from the church. We're afraid to share our burdens. We're afraid to tell our brothers and sisters in Christ that we need your prayer, that we need your help, and we're seeking you for encouragement. I want to say this morning, Brother Randy, I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God. He sends a stranger from a foreign land to lift Jeremiah out. He sends saints from the flock to throw down them old rotten rags and them old clouts and to pull Jeremiah out. But I'll say thirdly, in closing, we find that he sends sap from a field to pull him out. Jeremiah's low, sinking in the murky waters of life. He calls upon God. Abimelech, the type of Christ, hears his prayer, runs to the king. The king sends help. A stranger from a land, saints from the fold. But in chapter number 8, well before this ever happened, Jeremiah, he asked a question. He asked the question in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 22. He said, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? What he was saying is, we have a medicine. We have a physician. So why aren't the daughters, or why ain't the land being healed? He was talking about the balm of Gilead. This balm of Gilead, it was a rosin. It was a sap that was drawn from a tree. Let me say this. It was a sap that was drawn from a tree when it was wounded. As they would wound this tree, this growing live wood, as they would cut into it and they would pierce it, this sap, this rosin, would ooze from the tree. One preacher said about this balm of Gilead, it was used to soothe pain and to cleanse wounds. Well, I thought I'd get a better response than that. This balm, this sap that came from a tree was used to soothe pain,
yep,
and to cleanse wounds.
Amen.
The sap from the field was used to pull Jeremiah out of the mires of life. This tree of Gilead, or this tree was only found in Gilead. Some refer to it as Mount Gilead. It means a mountainous region. Gilead means a rocky hill or high place. This tree from Gilead only grew on the high hill above the cities. It only grew on the mountainous hills above the rest of the place. This tree was located. They would pierce it. They would stab the tree. And this tree would be wounded. And the sap would begin to run. That sap was collected. And it was placed on pain for the wounds that one desired. You say, preacher, what does this medicine, what does this sap, what does this rosin, what does this balm of Gilead have to do to me in the mire and the muck of life? I want to say it this way. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for the world of lost sinners was slain. Isaiah in chapter 53 verse 5 said, "But He," as Jesus, "was wounded for our transgressions. Yeah. He was bruised for our iniquities. Yeah. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed."
Amen.
The Sabbath is drawing nigh. Jesus is on that hill above the city. Jesus is on that mountainous place above the rest of the people. The Sabbath drawing nigh. He's being crucified. And by Jewish law, a body cannot stay on the cross during the Sabbath. So they go to Pilate. And they ask Pilate to let us break the bones of these malefactors, these thieves, these sinners that are dying on the cross. Those Roman soldiers take a club, what we would call a sledgehammer. They go to this first malefactor, the first one hanging, and they rear back and they hit him in the legs, breaking his bones. You see, he no longer could push up to breathe, to fill his lungs with air. They go to the next malefactor. They go to this next thief. They rear back and they hit him and break his legs so he would die much more quick. They come to our Savior. They rear back. They're ready to hit him and they say, "Wait, I believe he's dead already." So they take a spear and they pierce his side. They stab, they wound, and from his side comes forth that balm of Gilead, that blood, that water that can soothe your pain and can cleanse your wounds.
Amen.
You say this morning, "I need help getting out of the murk, out of the mire, out of the mess that I'm in. I'm hated by the masses. I'm haunted by the mind. I'm trying to do right and preach and herald the message of God. And all I do is find myself down in the mire, the muck, and the mess of life. What do I need, preacher?" I want to say this morning, you can come this altar and pray. God will send you a stranger from a foreign land. He'll help those, the flock, the saints of God will help and pray you. But moreover, Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. Let's stand this morning. Whatever your need is. Brother Terry, I hate to put you on the spot. That'd be a good one if you can sing. Whatever your need is this morning. Father, we thank you for your mercy, for your grace. We thank you for Calvary. We thank you, Father, for the balm of Gilead, the blood of Jesus Christ, your precious Son, our Savior, that can save, that can soothe, that can help. God, no doubt they summoned here this morning. They're going in the mires and the muck and the mess of life. I pray, Father, you help them. I pray, God, that you find yourself at this altar, calling upon you, praying, seeking your face. And Lord, we'll know you'll be faithful to hear the prayer. Send your Son. God, may they be some saints that just need the encouragement this morning. I pray, Father, let me be an encourager. Let me be a helper. Let me be an uplifter. Let me be, Father, one that can say, good job, keep on, keep going, don't quit. But Father, we thank you most of all for Calvary. Thank you, Father, you're still saving sinners. Thank you, Father, the power of the blood that's able to reach, to help, and to cleanse this morning. Help us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.